Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Coke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You big?
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yaka, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hoit me?
This is Tiffany Levon.
And this is Queen Cleese, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Yo, much love.
All right. Y'all, this is Princess Daisy giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio. Keep doing your thing, puppy.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
So you're Benny the Butcher.
Prove me
why they call you Benny the Butcher.
Got a lot of catching up to do. Yo. For the hustlers that's getting money, thinking fast and business, who stayed up by playing smart and ducking bad decisions. I wore hand-me-downs to class, bitches laughed at niggas. Now I'm rock designer like I'm in the fashion business. I met a plug when I was broke, not to brag, I did it. I broke a nine off a half and got in traffic with it. This for my day one fans, niggas that been listening, who know these rappers not better or as consistent. And when they talk about the streets, it ain't that specific, so I'm a tad suspicious. If it's fact deficient, you ain't in the streets weighing slabs of fishes, nigga. You just another rapper trying to hide an image, but don't want the scabs and stitches, shit that go with it. And if you ask me this backwards, nigga, I seen too many real niggas fall to let you bitch niggas beat me. But still, I make this shit look easy. Bitches think I'm lit cause they see me, but I was just in the trap with a flip phone stick and a TV. Calls from home saying, why you going through the roof? And rumors back here saying, well, who going through the hoop? Been gone for 2 weeks, been two more funerals. They pulled up dumping out of the two-door Subaru. It's all the same, this what we call a game. When you move, it put you back like a ball and chain. We rap about our real life cause it caused us pain. And when you reach certain levels, it causes change. The pain subsides, but the scars remain. I'm one of the realest nigga that's broad as day. I'm on my biggie who shot ya. Just for my partner still in lockup, who only called back home to tell us in a box up. They kill Eric Garner just cause his posture. But you get life if you hit a cop up. How could we feel like that's not us? I scan plexion the same, nigga, please don't be obnoxious. I play with more keys than a locksmith. It's like I'm good at everything, I got this. Joe Pesci 38 got a roach clip burning in the ashtray. Burning in the ashtray. You know I'm spending good money, so he love me city down to meet me halfway. Down to meet me halfway. Joe Pesci 38. My Joe Pesci 38. Joe Pesci 38. same gun from Goodfellas. This my Joe Pesci 38. My Joe Pesci 38. Think it's just rap, and that's where we all playing. Till I'm paranoid and spraying like an handsaw can. Got a hammer on that I could stuff a cannonball in. I really pull 50 racks out of Manitow can. Think I panic, small chance. Be careful who you call friends. Money too dirty, need a crib and a car plan. I paid $1,000 for the Fed guard vans. Shooters outside my crib look like a Fed con stand. Where I'm from, the money club, yeah, the bricks are selling. And most niggas gon' send a hitter before they send a message. But it's like every corner hot, even the bitches tell us. You got hoes with fed cases, getting sick, pregnant. With these hoes, I always been selected. With the flow, I've been respected. Count the bodies that my pen collected. Rode the riches, picked the Lexus, never missed the exit. You know what happens when you meet with Zelda, you get connected. Let's go.
Bushes with some ass like Vader, nigga. Man, how many fucking niggas we gotta kill, Lord? In the bushes with some ass like Vader, nigga. Niggas keep testing me. In the bushes with some ass like Vader, nigga.
I'm a fucking legend. I set the fucking
ball. In the bushes with some ass like Vader, nigga. Supreme flying tail, nigga. Talk 3, nigga. Buffalo Kid, man. Body dropping every fucking day. You better walk right. Better talk right. I don't got time to fucking play. I don't fucking play with my kids, nigga. On ocean in the Bentley, eating cha-chas. We don't stop for bum niggas. We just go to the penthouse and overlook the city. Still spending brick money. I can get Paul this check back right now.
Parking lot, them east side sharks is out. They got bad, it seem awful now. I still serve them hot like it's Waffle House. When it was go time, I ain't panic. I'm God like St. Francis, Black Moses with a blank canvas. Put on these niggas' neck, they can't stand it. I'm careful who I shake hands with, but won't spare you when that cave blamming. You stand here, we had to take chances and trap by a state campus to find customers and gave samples.
Okay.
I talk about the truth club lifters. Fans gon' play the song in court and try to use it against us. That's the shit I had to do to put food in the kitchen. Always think before you move, a key rule in this business. I've been nice since the lunch table. Young Fredo, this life made me numb, unstable, and ungrateful. Straight through, I only come at you from one angle. Pray to every God to get lucky if one saves you. Yeah, I'm about to cop the Prezi, swap the Deja. When we leave the spot, they gotta mop the Ace up. You not no gangster, you know how we watch the Lakers. Courtside by the players, so close I can block a layup. You see, I lock my lane up, I got my name up. Stories how I copped and rock cocaine up, damn, they got me famous. It's because danger. I painted pictures of a thug's character. Stainless steel, snub, and submarine. All the hoes, I fuck above standards. Yeah, my bitches got 9 to 5s, but bodies like club dancers. No, I tell them bitches one answer. She say I'm mean, but I lick that pussy clean if it's untampered. Driver speeding off from a robbery with a 100K in the glad bag. Damn, this remind me of Carlito's way. Cause Benny always get the last laugh, nigga. Hey yo, when I was on tour, man, my nigga Thowie hit me, right? Me and Clinton Max. I'm like, nigga, you ain't missing nothing. This nigga still the same. This bitch is still the same. You ain't missing nothing, nigga. You sending them pink slips back and forth, sweet hustle. Ain't nothing changed, like I said, nigga, you ain't missing nothing. My brother got cut in Marshall. That's a true story. I'm like, damn, that's my little brother. I'm like, damn, you a gangster like me now. You winning shit like me. Fuck, I'm gonna say. Like I said, this ain't no TV shit, man. It's real.
A quarter ticket, put a quarter in my back, you give a quarter to my bitches. Ever since a quarter century, I've been raking up the digits. All these dollars out of quarters, I should give a course in vending. Bought the razor back like Arkansas, then butcher taught me blending. Turn a 4 into a 7, then you hit the block and kill it. That's how I fed my mama and 3 other little siblings. Not to mention my children, shit, everybody winning. Took a gamble just to get here. The risk takers gon' get this, or I'm getting a checkerboard, aka a big square. Break it down in fair chances, then we going square dancing. From Charlotte back to New York and Miami like I'm Aunt Mason. Black soprano family with the leverage is impeccable. You rappers is unethical, turn niggas to vegetables. Matter of fact, nigga, shoot yourself with it. Plexico shells hotter than Mexico. Feel it on your chest like a stethoscope.
I love the game, I'm from the streets. I survived some murder beef. Ever since then, I play for keeps. I'm shooting everywhere the laser blink. Drums on a 223, shutting down the motor on the beat. So be careful riding down the streets. And nigga, bring your biggest gun when you think you're running down on me. I'm with some niggas that'll die for me. You gotta look me in the eyes when you tell me you gon' ride for me. It's time to tell my side of the story. A nigga came off the bench, but I got rings like Robert Dory. I made movies, but ain't recorded. Sprayed 30-some shells, clear the scene before it get reported. Moving cautious, I can't afford it. Raised by them real trenches, catch a body and you get rewarded. Pushing grams, trying to make a fortune. Had a couple bad runs, like the Bills when they had lost me. I need the rollie with the bezel frosted. Having triple beam dreams, reminiscing when I sold frosting. Me and my ops like LA and Boston. I thought of that one on the plane, on a flight from LA to Boston. Sipping Douce with the double crosses. The way we do, you think it's voodoo, so be careful for you double crosses. You run
your mouth. My gun's talking. Place a bounty on your head. Now you just a dead man.
They told me y'all playing with fire, cause I ain't throw my phone away yet. I'm in deep, the hustler instinct ain't go away yet. I kept a hammer and a bubble coat on the east side of Buffalo. The 40 made me trigger happy, my plug made me comfortable. Hit the lot and I'm copping. Ain't nothing to guess about the shit. I don't even know the price, I need to test drive the whip. When you was stressed about a bitch, my team was fresh out of brick. Copping in Miami, at the Best West by the strip. Your bitch hit my phone, and she don't want nothing specific. Hoes know I'm balling like the U.S. in the Summer Olympics. I played the strip till the mail came in. Chanel fragrance, hell raising. Nigga, my hood full of shell casings from 12 gauges. Let's see who really rivals, if your city really follows. I'm in the lab writing, ashing in an empty Henny bottle. I had a spot in all hoods, had my pockets all full. So rap made me more political, like Pac before Suge. This flow got me enemies, I don't speak to half y'all. I got weaker rap squads doing features half off. Yeah, no cops when I hit the scene. Popped up with Rick and Heen. Mask, no vest, just a mop like Mr. Clean.
These are the real
big
surprise.
DSF, nigga. All my niggas is capos, nigga. We take this Black Soprano shit serious. Real shit. Shout out my nigga City Boy. My nigga Rick Aheen. Produced by Shay, you a fool, nigga. Ah, 2020 mine, nigga. Big BSF, Big Griselda, this motherfucker. I had to come clean niggas up. Ah.
Yeah, 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 back one time. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do, y'all? This your boy King Air the Great, and you're now tuned in to episode 301 of Off the Cuff Radio, man. Sponsored by Da Vinci Clover, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement, and Jesse's Boutiques. We got a live one on tonight, and I got my man T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do, OTC on a Friday, you know what I'm saying? We all up in the mix, you know, King Eric and myself. And, of course, before we get started, we have to give the most respectful condolences and remembrance of one of the BX's great, the Bronx legend, the heavyweight, El Gordo himself, Fred the Godson, who passed away earlier this week. Our hearts are so heavy. And like we've always said, you know, just be safe out there. And just, you know, this thing is real. And we've for so many people, this has become a very cold reality of, you know, how tragic the consequences are of, you know, what's going on with the COVID. So just be safe, protect your loved ones, you know, and don't take any unnecessary risks going out or anything. Just be safe as possible.
Yeah, man, definitely talk some prayers go out to him, man. I mean, that was a tough loss for the culture. And we also noticing that Scarface, he was going through it, and I'm praying that he pulls through as well. So just keep yourself safe, keep your family safe, stay out the rear view.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I guess this is where we go ahead, you know, segueing.
Yeah, man.
You know, to I guess interview our host. Yeah, man. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's a big show tonight, man. And let's give him a formal introduction, man. This man here is a part of one of the biggest movements going on in hip-hop right now. I mean, some of the cuts we play right now, they burning up the streets. Big shout-out to Benny the Butcher. Big shout-out to the Black Sopranos family. And we have the CEO of the BSF movement right here with us. He goes by the name of City Boy, y'all. So let's put some respect on this man's name and bring him on.
Yeah. But make respect on my name. I come from the before there was a fuck about a fame. It's Big City Boy. I don't give a fuck about a name. I build my name. That's why it's City Boy. That's why I'm here with my cruisers. That's why we always can run the plays. That's why Young Hemer the steamer. That's why everything is going what we supposed to be doing. We doing this shit for the culture. I'm here for less than 99 cents. I made a lot of money today, but I spent more. You heard?
Look,
you
that's
go.
The BSF way, man. Look, you know, City Boy,
I
we are so privileged.
I made a lot of money today, but I spent more. You ever heard of investment? Investment. Niggas don't be investing in themselves. I come from the bottom. Niggas like, yo, I buy you a pound, buy you a kilogram, buy you a whole fucking merchant, a merch, whatever you need, big my nigga. But, and I'm telling niggas, I don't need shit. I don't need shit. You heard?
Definitely. You know, and look,
I don't need shit. I don't need shit. And I'm here with Josh, J-Rock, my Chris. You know what I'm saying? Hottie, number one color. Shouts out to Hottie, Free Hottie. Niggas got wheelchairs and legs that still bounce. Niggas try to take us out the game. Whatever game they was on, masked up, but we still here.
Yeah, man. Look, keep up.
It's an interview, right?
Yeah, look. Yeah, this is one of the most exciting intros we've had.
Man, you on the perfect show right now, brother. We off the cuff right here. So we here to celebrate y'all movement. Y'all, we giving props to the groundwork y'all putting in work in, man. And we letting the people know you guys are here to stay.
Respect.
Definitely, City Boy. We're so privileged to have you on, man.
Appreciate it. I appreciate that. Just on the simple fact that I never even signed up for people to even seek me out on some, have me on any type of TV show, radio show, or anything. You know what I'm saying? So me being here on an individual itself and individuality moving forward, I appreciate that, King. You heard?
Definitely. And you know, like King said in the intro, man, you guys have built something monumental, you know, before, you know, y'all movement really hit the, you know, the national and international consciousness. You know, Buffalo was pretty much known for chicken wings and Rick James and Bill. You know, so you all have put like a whole new identity on y'all city up in New York, man. How does that feel to be that next wave of the great major, you know, movement of hip hop?
It feel like you only get the results that you put in. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to write nobody else's way when I created this BFF thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I come from Benny. You know what I'm saying? Benny come from me. When I say, like, Hot Pocket, you got $2, motherfucking honey bun, two Huggies, a motherfucking a bag of chips, and a Hot Pocket split in the half. So things up like this when we move forward, it's never about the money. I spend more money on my artists than I ever gonna spend on myself because it's never about the budget. It's about niggas creating history. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And you know with Buffalo, man, y'all definitely some real dudes, man. Shout out to one of the legends, you know, coming from Buffalo as well, Donald Sly Williams. You know, who put it down for y'all on the block as well, man.
Two, three lifetimes, right? Two, three lifetimes. Like, West Saigon did with him, you know what I'm saying, in the federal penitentiary. West Saigon come home out that federal penitentiary, nigga, and he signed Benny. And Benny, you know what I'm saying? I said, West Saigon come home from a federal penitentiary, U.S. Penitentiary. You know how hard that is, right? Hired to come from Buffalo or do anything you ever gonna do. But he did what he did, how he did, and we had to pit bull in the backyard, which happened to be Benny.
Right.
And Benny had some pups under him, and I was ready to release him. You know what I'm saying? So moving forward, Black Panther Family is like the biggest thing other than hip hop. Not other than hip hop, Black Panther Family is hip hop and is the culture.
Definitely. Now, what was it like in terms of coming up? You know, like you talked about, you know, just y'all coming up from, you know, as puppies to the big dogs. What was because Buffalo?
What's used the big
to,
dog? What's
know,
the what's the caliber of coming up to the big dog? What's the caliber
of
coming
of,
up to the big dog? Cause I ain't gonna lie, what's the big dog status and what's the baby boy status?
Just make just basically, you know, making that name in terms of doing what you got to do for you, you know what I'm saying? You know, because Buffalo has pretty much always been known for its gritty and grimy, you know, in terms of, you know, being an industrial town, and then, you know, things kind of changed. So it really kind of, its reputation really became one of a city you really had to be about your shit on, man. What was it like, you know, growing up, you know, from, you know, the young, you know, from when y'all first started to now, in terms of just, you know, life experiences?
It's priceless to me, because personally, I thought about living this life that we live, but to live it for real, it's priceless to me because we did it already mentally. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you pour for roaches and rats, when you pour, you come from a noodle club. You know what I'm saying? Pork and beans and hot dogs.
Right.
Do you come from that? Pork and beans and hot dogs. You know what that is? Do you know what pork and beans and hot dogs?
Homemade hot dog right there. That's the homemade hot dog.
Yeah.
You can't get buns.
Google it when you get a chance.
Look, we got it. We got
the radio
bread instead of the buns.
Pork and beans and hot dogs. Like the hot dog is pork, and what's on the side is pork, and you just mix it up with, depending on the recipe. You might put brown sugar on it, salt, or you might put none on it. Whip it all together. We good. We don't eat regardless. To move forward to a different day. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? To move forward to a different day. So no matter what we're doing, how we're doing, we come home.
Why'd you mess with that, man?
They kidnapped us. You know what I'm saying? They kidnapped us from history. So it's like, even with the quarantine, me and Monica's been working harder because we like, we need more videos. We need more tickets, more hats, more merch, more photo shoots.
Hi, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas, like, that shit had niggas' household even more harder because niggas had to tighten up their shit up. We were too comfortable dealing with the world.
Gotcha. Now, what was the inspiration for when y'all, because your reputation on the streets was already established for how real you guys were. What was this, when was it, you know, because everybody had already, you know, done their time and everything. When was the shift to where you all decided that you wanted to go ahead in terms of making music, you know, the legitimate hustle? And, you know, who were some of the foundations, who were some of your influences in business and in rap that really helped y'all to, like, really mold your label and the scene?
To be honest with you, shouts out, number one, shouts out to Master P. Because I feel like I'm Master P. You know what I'm saying? Just off hustling out my backseat, hustling out my trunk with the music, with the artists, you know what I'm saying, knowing my work. Shout out to Master P. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be where I'm at today without Master P giving me the blueprint. You heard?
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, shout out to Benny because I come from the Benny tutoring. This is my best friend, 25 years, whatever. We was broke. We was poor. We had roaches. We had rats. My favorite bitch fuck him. His favorite bitch fuck me. Like, whatever because we gonna do, we gonna do it together. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had the biggest money I ever had in my life with my man. With my man. You get what I'm saying? So, it prepared you for the right world or the middle of the world because you dealt with the reality of the world. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Definitely.
And, you know, one thing about it, man, is when you're in the game, you know, the hardest thing is, you know, being able to build your audience in terms of, you know, really getting the music out
there. One thing about
there.
this audience is always going to follow us because we real. We don't try to build inside the audience to follow us or whatever. Like, even with my kid, 4, 5, 6, my kid's 6 years old, right? And it's called the Russian Playhouse. Because, bro, we know our worth, bro. It's never about the money. It's about who you with or who you going to trade it in for. It's never about the money. You get what I'm saying? Shout out to Michael Jordan. Shout out to Louis Vuitton. Shout out to Gucci. This Mike Soprano shit and where we going with this shit, it's like we mob bosses, it's mafioso, we smoke good weed. You know what I'm saying? We got Cuccios around, good hair, and shit, levels. You know what I'm saying? Tennis braces, levels on my wrist. You feel what I'm saying? And I ain't got no diamonds on my wrist, but I'm just saying, like, when you link the Soprano family, it all come together. We the wire without creating the wire. We, like, we what it is. Like, we the latest shit to look forward to. And if you're not investing in yourself, or you're not investing in others, what the fuck is they around for?
And definitely.
What's dope about you guys is that for the y'all carve y'all own lane without really like piggybacking off other people, and that drew the attraction to the majors. Y'all made the majors come to y'all. Like y'all had them big coach guys.
Listen. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I met Jay-Z, you know what I told Jay-Z? Bruh. You taught me this, bruh. I ain't come to you on some begging. I ain't come to you on some trying to get signed. I ain't come to you on some whatever. I come to you on, like, respect. When Jay-Z holler at me, he always say, you from Buffalo, right? You ain't trying to get this money? So, personally, we had to step our shit up and go holler at the man. Because moving forward on some hip-hop level type of shit, where we come from, we had to go holler at the man, go get our shit together, because we too cocky for our own good. We be riding around to that nigga's shit in 96, 98, 99, and trying to get our shit together because, you know what I'm saying? Just off what it was. I love Myth Week. Myth Week, my man. One thing about that is I met Emery, I met Ho, I met all the niggas. I never met Myth Week, but 99, 2000, I was riding with Myth Week. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Niggas just know what it is, but know what it ain't. They beat my man. You say. We need cases now. We drink Hennessy all day. Shout out to Midweek because we drink Hennessy all day. Don't be J-Rap.
All day, all day, every day.
You feel me? We can drink Hennessy all day, but Midweek, nigga, send me a case of that Deuce. We can ride your five, nigga. We good already.
Definitely.
Y'all like, on your radio station.
Y'all
ain't
gonna jump on the Chris Style.
You said what Hope said. They was racist. It's about empowering black businesses for black businesses. That's why we do Ball Man. That's why Harlem right there. We do Ball Man. Anything that we do, we always gonna keep Ball Man close to us because Harlem run the play. And same thing with J-Rock, BFF, whatever niggas want to do. Like, you niggas run the play. We sit back, relax, and go to the ride.
Definitely.
Yours!
You know, and one thing about it, man, that what y'all created is something that has really become like a staple, you know, in terms of the impact that y'all have made, man. I mean, because, you know, where a lot of hip hop nowadays has been criticized being commercial, and for some would even say it's become divided between the old school and the new school. What you all done collectively is basically bring, you know, both generations together in terms of, you know, the young
audience
and the older.
It's about connecting
audience.
The dots. Like when Hemer paid for a feature in the pocket lot of Delvin and Cortland. Delvin and Cortland, shit, people got killed in that plaza. You know what I'm saying? Before they even had $100. It was kids,
right.
10 years old. I come from that 2007. I was up. I had a lick for $100,000 plus. You feel me? Benny got robbed that year, and he still survived it for us to be up down 2020. So it's like levels of this shit. You got to come from where you come from with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of niggas where they hide on their sleeves, but with us, we go all our war, crew. You know what I mean? Even with the cruises, a lot of niggas from your neighborhood, you got your cruise. When we come together, we the cruisers. You feel me? So this Atlanta shit, what we about to do, I'm happy I had this interview because moving forward, you like, yo, I'm a real CEO. I went to school for this shit. I got shot for this shit. I went all the in for this shit. I lost 300,000 for this shit. I went to war with the feds for this shit. I went to war with the state police for this shit. I've been fucking Gucci over this shit. So it's like, what y'all want me to do? 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 And I'm still here.
We are here.
And I'm going to get 20 off the bank. 40, 50.
I'm
going to get 100,000 right now off the bank and put it on the table like, yo, this y'all money.
All dubs, too.
Bitch, like, I thought you were going to buy a house or a property or a car with the money. I'm like, I was in my head, I'm like, I'm trying to spin you, but bitch, you trying to only give me $5,000. I'm trying to get 10. You feel me? I'm the business uncle. Shout out to my niece, Faith.
These dudes living it. Hey, when I interview, they balling out, man. I'm letting the audience know what's going on, man.
We're not balling out. We're not balling out. It's just called money management, bro. It's not. Listen, there's one thing about this is it's about money management because we come from the tool that's from BMF, Young Jeezy, T.I. Like, nigga, everybody got money. It's not about the money. It's about the money management and making it grow. It's about moving forward. One thing about me is we want it all. Before, nigga, if I rock Benny Rhodes, nigga, because that's my main man. Whatever catch might be. You get what I'm saying? Or vice versa. We moving forward with my artists, the Black Printer family, Quality Control. Nigga, QC know our name? That's my boy. When I heard that's my dog, nigga, I ain't want to hear nothing else. That's my dog. Because that's how we feel. You know what I mean? We're bonus. You know what I mean? Like, we got 13 BSF pieces. There's a lot of niggas that had the BSF piece before I did. You feel me?
Facts.
But we moving forward, so I had to get a BSF piece. So my shit bigger and better.
Right. That's a fact, man. It's like you got to keep that momentum moving, man, because at the end of the day, nobody else is going to help with y'all, man, because y'all got the – you got Westside Zinni to drop his joint. Zinni the Bushes to drop this joint. Y'all just keep it going.
Right.
Tell us about those early days when y'all kicked off the label in terms of just what it took in terms of, like, when did you realize that, like, because of course you're the head of Benny's label and you got real history with Benny in addition to Westside, you know, and Conway. But with Benny, you know, Benny is, all three of them are special. And, you know, Benny is definitely, you know, an elite MC. When did you know that, like, Benny really, really had what it took to take this rap shit to the next level?
I always knew what I knew, what Benny knew what it was to take it for the next level. That's why I was always there with him since 1992. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We fast forward right now. What year is this? You tell me what year is this. 2020, right?
It's 2020. Yes, sir.
Right. How many years is that?
Shit, that's 28 years, man. That's almost 30 years.
28 years.
How long is that?
28 years.
28 years, yes, sir.
And I'm still with on the side of the same Benny. Not just for Benny, but for others. They move forward. Build a brand, pull people in, whether you women or men, whether you kids or fans, no matter how you doing, we just trying to expand, you know what I'm saying? And this is my same man, Christian 90, you know what I'm saying? We come from a single prayer household, we come from being poor, we come from nobody never gave you shit. So anytime I give somebody some shit, it feel good to get somebody some shit off the shit that nobody never gave me. You feel me? Off the
Definitely.
Love.
Facts, bro. Now, I want to shoot this to you, man, because I saw some trailers about this. Like, tell us about this movie that that Benny's involved in. I think he's involved with two movies.
No, Benny involved heavy in two movies. Conflicted, you know what I'm saying? He's the executive producer and the Conflicted, but then the Karen shit, you know what I'm saying? One thing about Benny is a genius, you know what I'm saying? So, as far as him, he already invested in himself. So, he got to look forward to the Karen foot. Look forward to the Conflicted foot. Next question.
Definitely.
Next question.
Now, in terms of the business aspect of it, you said Master P was an influence. What did you find in terms of laying the foundation, in terms of what you had to do with reference? Because like you said, you know, it's about making that investment in your artists and all of that. You know, what was it like in terms of, like, getting those early shows booked, you know, studio time, you know, just putting a business plan together to make it work?
It was hard. Because the niggas behind me had $20 a piece to get in a spot. And that's what they want to charge. Benny gonna get in for free. I'm gonna get in for free. Benny plus three. So me, I only count five people. We gonna come with 20 people. So y'all trying to make us be a lick. We not a lick to nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's $400 coming in. Anytime Benny come, Benny gonna come with the ambassador of the cruises, man. You know what I'm saying? Like real shit though. I ain't gonna lie, like it's just standard, man. So when I learned that, I'm like, damn, wherever we go, we gonna have a 20 to 40 people entourage. We need to start making money off them people.
And how much, you know, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of artists, you know, they say, you know, and I will never forget this. It was years ago when I watched the Compton documentary on A&E. Shouts out to Arts and Entertainment Network when they were interviewing Game and Kendrick.
Shout out to them.
And they were talking to Game about the time that he met Dre. And, you know, how Game's music was getting in terms of, like, it was going around L.A. And Game said when he sat down with Dre, you know, because Dre had heard the buzz, Dre was asking Game, is the city fucking with you? And, like, Game's like, yeah, they fucking with me. Dre was like, good, because if your hood don't fuck with you, the world won't fuck with you. How important was it for you all in terms of Buffalo to really get that whole block, you know, all the blocks behind y'all movement to let them know, like, yo, we for real and we putting on for the city and we really got some shit that's going to make y'all proud of us?
To be honest with you, from man to man, amigo, amigo, that shit priceless. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know real gangsters. You know what I'm saying? And I traded it all in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know me, I'm city boy. I get it in on the road, put this shit to the side, do this or do that. Like, I'm rich regardless without the logo. But when I see
right.
Benny putting his heart in, to flex, putting the time in to motherfucking Reggie High and niggas signing us and like, this is what it is. Like, okay, we got something now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to shoot it down because we come from the same Hot Pocket era. We came from the noodle era. We come from the Cheez-Its and Huggies. You know what I'm saying? So if you got $2, not $200.
Right.
$1 first off the rip is the Hot Pocket. $2 is 25 cents for a huggy. Then you got 35 cents for a honey bun. You got 15 cents for a Laffy Taffy. You know what I'm saying? Take a Laffy Taffy on. A Laffy Taffy on.
Yeah, man. And you know, one thing about it, with the moves that y'all made, man, you know, you guys probably, you know, because you had, of course, you know, the history of independent labels, of course, in no particular order, like Sick With It, you know, headed up by Uncle E-40, you know, out of the Bay. You know, of course, Master P with No Limit, you know, Jay-Z and Rockefeller. You know, you guys, in terms of the new millennium, man, and of course, you know, you can't forget Top Dog Entertainment, Kendrick, you know, Anthony Tipler. You guys, for what you have done, I mean, for the independent movement you guys had, because your stuff is like of legendary proportions in terms of how y'all move. You know, in terms of, you know, this is before
you know, this is without a major label deal, and you guys are killing it on the ground. You know, and then
we never needed a major deal. Listen, one thing about this is we never needed a major deal because I don't want to be responsible for others' situations. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Have people look good off us. Like, it's never about the money with the Black Sprinter family. It's about the nostalgia of the movie. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, Hottie, shouts out to Hottie, Free Hottie. Shouts out to niggas. Like, niggas is locked up, fucked up, facing life, facing 22 years, facing whatever, all this Black Sprinter family movie. So when I go get $20,000 off the bank, $30,000 off the bank, $10,000 off the bank, like, this shit, it's so nice. You heard?
Definitely. Now, what's the differences you found in the industry, you know, in terms of what has been, you know, in terms of the music industry as opposed to the streets? Is it pretty much a different type of hustle, or is it, you know, pretty much the same in terms of, you know, what goes on in terms of, you know, making your business moves, calculating negotiations and all of that?
This is what's going on with me and my main man. I ain't going to hold you. We always going to have the independent hustle mentality. Period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, even when niggas is on 50, 100 mil, we be like, respect. It is what it is, but we got to do what we got to do for us and ours. You know what I'm saying? So, that's for starters. So, moving forward, look forward to Hammers. Look forward to the Black Soprano Family Project. Look forward to Rick High. Look forward to Love Boat Luciano. Look forward to Flex. Look forward to motherfucking everything what we got to do. And I think for people like you, people, establishment, businesses, because you get us an outlet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I started from the bottom, now we here. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, City Boy, you got an interview. I got an interview now. I'm lit. You know what I'm saying? I tell people, I'm rich. I got a budget. How you want to do it? I got a game room. I got so much shit going on that I can't even listen to nobody's demo. To the point, like, I got to start promoting my A&R's more because when I'm listening to my demo, they be thinking I'm too bougie for my own good. It's not that, but I ain't got the ear to it. I'm creating merch. I'm creating logos. I got a lot of shit on my plate. You feel me?
Right. If you could take us back in history,
and I was gonna ask
tell
you,
us about.
And I was going to ask you, too, man. And I was going to ask you, too. So when your music start being, like, when the movement start being embraced by the South, man, what was that feeling like, man, knowing that you guys came from New York? Yeah, I think it's called Got Dropped. This is one lit interview.
Look.
This is what they doing, man. They having
like,
a...
Look, man, that's the type of thing, King, though, that makes, you know, makes me feel good and makes me realize what we do as a team, you know. You, Chinchilla, Sandman, myself, you know, what OTC is all about, man, is, you know, like you said, you know, just giving people that outlet to be heard, man, because that's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people, there's so many people that behind the scenes in terms of the business aspect that don't get properly acknowledged, you know, just because they don't rap don't mean they're not important, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and
right.
You know, you got to have a business
everybody
mind.
Everybody plays a role.
Yeah.
Everybody plays a role in terms of building the castle.
Definitely, man. And, you know, for a situation, you know, hopefully we can get City back on. But, yeah, King, but, you know, it's wild, though, man, because when you look at what, you know, that whole Black Soprano Family movement has done over the past really like 4.5, 5 years as a collective, you know, it's really been, what, about 4 years now since they've really entered the consciousness of the hip-hop community in terms of, like, they have really become a force. Like, these guys are, like, they're major, you know. you know, that movement is like a serious one, and they're still growing.
And you can tell by the way he was very ecstatic. Know you very ecstatic when you get drunk before you do an interview. You know you very ecstatic. But nevertheless, I don't. If he does call, that'd be a great look. But it was a great insight on what he gave us. Even though he was tipsy on that Hennessy, you know what I'm saying?
Look, in the words of Rick James,
it's a celebration.
Yeah, some of them interviews, if he doesn't come back, some of them interviews are good because it's easier for me to mold and get the content up faster. So if he doesn't call, then big shout out to him either way. But if he does call, we definitely let him chop it up with him either way because it goes to show you also that Master P has played a heavy role in the independent movement in hip hop.
Yeah, man, and you
inspired
know, I think
a lot
of people. Definitely, man, you got to look at a man with P for what he's done. You know, P's business savvy, you know, of course, with No Limit going back 30 years in terms of what he's done. You know, I mean, P really. You can't say that P is the first guy to really make it a business in the modern day as we know it because, you know, of course, Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin with Def Jam and Ernest were the ones that really founded, you know, made hip-hop a business with Def Jam Records in 1984, 85 when they first started. So they were really the ones that kind of, you know, really started that. In terms of, you know, laying the foundation, of course, that would influence guys like, you know, Puffy, you know, Birdman, you know, E-40. You know, so many artists came behind them, and so many CEOs came behind them who were doing it. You know, Black Soprano Family, you know, this is just another major movement that is following tradition in terms of, you know, upholding that standard for what it takes. You know, and one thing about it, man, you know, like, you know, a city was saying, man, it's like, it's, you know, to have your hood behind you because you, you know, North Carolina, me and Virginia, to all our listeners out there worldwide, man, it's like, you know, it's hard sometimes to really get that, you know, notoriety and respect, you know, of everybody, you know, because you know everybody always gives you that stigma as, you know, oh, that's just a local, you know, such and such. And they don't really appreciate the or acknowledge the efforts and time you put in. So for your hood to rot with you like that, and you can tell by City how enthusiastic and humbled he was that, you know, his hood, you know, the city got behind him, you know, and the whole crew.
You know what about what's impressive about the Griselda movement? It's just like I told him, man, it's like they didn't come in the game trying to be accepted by the majors. They came in and caved their own blueprint and had the majors come to them.
Oh, yeah. 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 You know, and one thing about it, man, is, you know, as we talk on the show all the time about it, you know, is that it's important for you to come in the game in terms of having your focus established in reference to, you know, having your lane. Because so many times, you know, and this was real prevalent back in the day, of course, you know, you and I know this, that a lot of artists were just basically, you know, 30 years ago, there were, like, of course, with No Limit and Cash Money, doing because they go back that far. But you figure, man, I mean, having your own independent label was like, you know, it wasn't something people didn't have. But to really break on that national and international level was a hard deal because, you know, back in the day, you really needed that outlet. You really needed that money. You really needed those resources. And for some artists, they just didn't have that reach to get outside of a local level. You know, they were trying to, you know, they had a movement hoping they could get a deal. And now it's like, you know, you got independent labels popping up all over the place that are basically moving on their own merits. They're not looking for that big money. Their thing is, we're going to show we got our own movement. And, you know, look, we can't even forget about, and how can we forget about Nipsey, you know what I'm saying, with what he was doing in terms of how he was doing his independent hustle. you know, with, you know, before he got out of Atlantic. You know, Nipsey, people forget, you know, Victory Lap came out 2 years ago, but Nipsey had already been, when Victory Lap came out in 2018, Nipsey pretty much had already been in the business close to, he started around really 2002, 2003. You know, so Nipsey had already been in for some years before he actually got his major deal. I think he actually had a deal with Sony, but that fell through. So Nipsey just basically went back to the block and was putting out his music independently, you know. And then, you know, a few years ago, you know, he got that deal with Atlantic, got the album out, you know, had his All Money In, you know, label. And, you know, but Nip had already established a base. I mean, look, that's still a legendary proportion with the Crenshaw mixtape, you know, the $100 mixtape. And Jay-Z bought 100 copies just to show how much he supported his movement. I mean, that's just, I mean, what do you say when Jigga buys 100 copies just because he wants to really support you because you're doing something for yourself, let alone that he heard it?
For real. That was very unheard of.
You know, but
that was very unheard of at the time for a guy to come in and to sell a mixtape, not an album, but a mixtape at $200.
Yeah.
$100.
And then he followed up with Mailbox Money, which was $1,000, you know, in terms of, you know, the physical copies were going for $1,000. And, you know, of course, he would mail you something personal of his, like a T-shirt, some tennis shoes, one of his rhyme notebooks, you know. And Nip said, and I think some years ago when I read this, Nip said when he actually had, I think within the first hour when he put that out there, I think he sold like 50 copies. So you figure he made 50 racks in an hour. I mean, that's got to be something to know that you got that kind of fan support with your shit, man, for real.
So you do that, you do the math.
Yeah. But one thing about it, I mean, but to see, you know, but it's nothing better than to see artists living the dream, you know, because, you know, like I said, man, you know, I think sometimes so many people get caught up hating on others that, you know, we don't always appreciate and respect people, you know, for trying to, you know, make it. And the reality is, you know, in any hustle, you know, music, whatever, you know, myself personally, I will never try to deter anyone from their passion or their dream. You can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it, and you have, and but most importantly, you got to have a plan. You know, that's the one thing, you've got to have a plan. And because if you got a plan, you know, it gives you at least a foundation. And I think that's what, you know, people got to understand. You know, you got to have a plan. But once you've got it down and you move forward with it, you know, all you got to do is just put in the hustle and the energy to make it work. And, you know, things happen. You know, I tell anybody, you know, we're both students of this. We're children of this culture. And, you know, we understand what it takes to make it. And it's going to be a lot of sleepless nights. You know, a lot of people saying you can't do it, you know. It's going to be a lot of obstacles. Lord knows on this show how many we've had and we've overcome. We're at 301. You know, it's just something that, you know, but most importantly, artists have to understand your product has to be dope. You know, your product has to be dope. And it takes practice, and it takes time to perfect your practice. Because if you're going to sell your product out there on the streets for everybody to listen, you got to have something worth listening to. And I think a lot of artists have to understand that, you know, before you make this a career, you really have to commit yourself to it and make sure you're good at it.
For real. But we about to go ahead and take a little intermission right quick. When we come back, we're going to chop it up briefly about what's been going on with the culture. And I'm probably going to have to tune in
definitely
a little bit early because I had something to take care of on the side. But since we had the Black Soprano, Griselda movement on, we're going to play some more tracks from them. We're going to go back.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the one that introduced me to them. And this one goes by Birdie. with Conway the Machine. So
okay.
If you want to chop it up, call number is 1-516-531-9596. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah.
Wake up. Wake your ass up. Look here. Come on. Wake up. Fuck. You hear me, man?
Jeez. Recognize, motherfucker.
I bust a nigga shit wide open. Blick the fist, the pussy nigga laying stiff with his eyes open. Zelda bitch, you know what's up. K-Bullets with the Rover truck. Bare face, some niggas know what's up. Only the dough we lust. The baking soda make the Yola fluff. I got this rap shit in the Cobra clutch. I'm shooting like a young Kobe in a clutch. I put a hole in you niggas to drop them, can't close it up. The rollie bust down, my homie touched down with like 40 plus. That's 40 bags of sour shit, we sold it up. My shooter sniffs till his nose is stuffed. The HK is folded up, have him unloaded for opposing up. Nigga blink wrong, they fool. The fuck niggas been dick riding so long, they think that shit cool. I'm about to flood my neck with big trinkets and jewels. Niggas don't want beef, they wanna keep this shit smooth. I promise, I ain't gonna stop with this chopper until the corpse drop. Fire out the nozzle till it ain't no more shots. Pay for four plugs, throw me extra four blocks. Sold keys since the OG's, your four drop. Teams lined around the block to cop more drop. Griselda Records, bitch, we winning by a long shot.
We winning, nigga.
I don't rap beef with these rap niggas. I slap niggas' teeth out their mouth and I clap niggas' machine. Niggas raising my jaw like birdie. Raising my jaw like birdie. Hey niggas, I erase niggas, fake nigga. Snake nigga, 38, see your face nigga. Free the yay, flippers in the feds in upstate nigga. Ways to give you football stitches to play gate nigga. It ain't safe for you. Max sitting on my lap. I had my driver circle in the way for you. They bringing out the yellow tape for you. They hate on you when your kicks cost a rack and you got paid for you.
I know.
Shooters in your bushes, they gon' wait on you. Your shit, they gon' push and I got cake on you. I ain't normal, they gon' know it's me that came for you. When they scraping pieces of your brain off you, I ain't gon' even take your chain off you, keep that. I keep the Mac, niggas will try to get a name off you. Look, you can't touch me, niggas will ride for it. Got hit three times and three niggas died for it. Raising my jaw like birdie. Like
yeah. Like I said, nigga. Motherfucking machine, nigga. I don't play them type of games, nigga. You know what I mean? I get at niggas, man. I don't at niggas. You know what I mean? I ain't no internet nigga. Watch your mouth when you talk to me, nigga. Crazy, yo, stat niggas be looking at me crazy like, you know what I mean? Pussy nigga, you would've died if you was put in my place, nigga. I ate those. I'm still here, nigga. Fucking more bitches than ever, nigga. Getting more money than ever, nigga. It's like I ain't lost a step, my nigga. Word up. Griselda, bitch. Machine, nigga.
Ayo, I had the perfect banquet. Basquiat's in the bandos, we tasteless.
S.E. gang hammer on the waist shit. Leaving the club wasted, waving it in niggas' faces.
Louis reeking out my fucking paws. Sweeping coke off the marble floors.
Medusa head on the ruffle shit. I came with the semi-LVs on the luggages.
Blood bottoms with the spikes on it. Canary choke paw, pink ice on it.
Fresh new Mac on the dresser, chillin', watchin' Ron's house. Daydreamin' about Vanessa Center.
Playing chess on the luggage. The 90s unzip, mesh the leg and feel bucky.
smelling dope on me at the little homie graduation. He caught his first body, told him congratulations.
Rocky Minks at the brown of fight. If the 4 pound dope, then the chopper might.
How the fuck you gonna do me harm, nigga? I'm surrounded by shooters, I'm LeBron, nigga.
Shooting like Curry, nigga. Do you like flip when Birdie ripped them?
245s on me like Jimmy Jump. Mac in the Reagan era bag in the Van Trump.
Python on the Just Dime. Fendi dinner plates with the dope bomb.
Twisting up the gas in the side of the store. Spend so much cash, they gotta lock the door.
The SLS coat white. Free slot green, they gave my nigga full life.
That kind of shit the game miss. Hurricane risk. In the kitchen whipping up a cocaine dish.
Stop bank at the dice game. Catch him in the yard with the knife game.
Niggas ain't fucking with my knife game. 40 for the Hublot, that was life change.
Couple max in my bitch Birkin. Throw him off the roof, now he fly for certain.
And bitch, I won all the cash. Conway, West Side Gun, all the Nash, nigga.
I can tell you, as soon as those cameras stop rolling, that side of Kevin Nash that we're more familiar with certainly resurfaced. That was an angry Kevin Nash. As soon as the interview concluded, I know that he has got all have personal issues that they must settle. Well, I think the issue, if nothing else,
y'all already know this is the place to be when you find that real hardcore dope hip hop, man. This is King Eric back. Yeah, to hit y'all with some classic Griselda joints. And we back at it, man. Chopping it up briefly. Talking about random things, whatever y'all want to shoot the breeze at. Call number is 1-516-531-9596. Now, this topic here, because it just popped up on my phone, is a reminder. And I want to know, if anybody who those out there that are sports fans, I want to know what everybody thought of the Michael Jordan Last Bulls documentary that came out this past week. What are y'all thoughts of the first two episodes? And T-Max, you a Jordan head yourself. I know you've seen it, man. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, one thing about it is when you're looking at the Bulls dynasty, it really, 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 it documented everything that goes on because it shows so many sides of the team in terms of knowing that, it's such a beautiful yet bittersweet look because you see how dominant the Bulls were. You know, at their peak, you know, going back to that 97-98 season, you know, and this was that which would ultimately be their third championship and a second three-peat. But it also showed, you know, the corporate side of it. You know, Jerry Krause, you know, felt like he was not getting the recognition that he deserved, you know, and of course, you know, there started to be some issues with Phil, you know, and then of course, you know, with Michael, you know, because Michael wanted to keep the team together and Jerry's thing was at the end of it, you know, won't no player or coach going to tell him what to do. I mean, one of the most telling things is when he told Phil, you could go 82-0 and I'm still not bringing you back. I mean, I was like, whoa.
That's terrible, man. He even said, just like you said, Phil, he could win 82 games. And we still ain't bringing you back. And you know what? It's a trip how fast that dynasty fell, man, because they went from a championship squad winning three straight to looking at that 98-99 season. These niggas barely won 19 games. Like, golly.
Well, you know, King, one thing about it when you're looking at a sport is that there is always, there's going to be those times where you're going to be like the Patriots, where you're winning all the time, and then you're going to be like the Buffalo Bills. No disrespect to our guest City Boy who was on. But the reality, you know, where you make it to the big game, but you never quite get over the top. You know, and the Bulls dynasty is of mythical proportions. I mean, the 72-10 that they did in 95-96 is still the standard bearer. I know the Warriors broke it in terms of the 73 wins, but they didn't finish it up with a championship. You know, so the Bulls still hold that standard in terms of greatness for what they did. And when you look at it, and of course, Michael, you know, it showed a lot of things with Michael. As you said, King, I'm a big Mike fan. That does not mean that I do not acknowledge Michael at times. He could be difficult, you know, and Michael was notoriously difficult. You know, he was one of those guys who had a very high competitive drive, you know. But, and of course, you know, for a lot of those early years in Chicago, you know, he was basically the one-man show, and he kind of wanted to be that. But, you know, Phil got there and eventually taught Mike that this is a team game. You can be a great player, but you're not going to be truly great until you can bring up everybody around you. And when Michael understood that, that laid a foundation for what would be one of the greatest modern-day runs in NBA history. You know, I mean, you figure the Bulls are the only NBA team who have ever had two separate three-peats, you know. Even if it's not the eight straight that the Celtics won in the 1950s and 60s, you know, you still figure that's impressive for what Chicago did. I mean, how many times can a team win three straight, the star player retires for a year and a half, comes back, and then win another three straight? How does that happen?
Hey, you know what's crazy, too? That documentary also gave insight on the dealings that what Scottie Pippen was dealing with. He was not really paid what his due was, which was very interesting, I might add, because Pippen, he held the glue down for a lot of years, man. I mean, many would say if it wasn't for Pippen, Jordan wouldn't have the ring. So I believe he was looking at it from a standpoint when he signed with the Bulls in, I think, 88, I believe. He was trying to get his family out of poverty. Any kid was looking at it like that. But he didn't think his value would go up as the years went on.
Well, King, you're absolutely right. I think Pippen got there out of Central Arkansas State in 1987, I believe. That's when he got there. And but I'm going to hit you to some game, King. He was not a high-paid player till towards the end of his career in terms of that last run with the Bulls. Michael was, there were a lot of guys making more money than Michael at the time in the NBA, believe it or not. A lot of Mike's money, and Mike had money back in the day. Don't get it twisted. Mike had dough. But a lot of Mike's major money was coming from endorsements. You know, Hanes, Gatorade, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Nike, of course. You know, so that's where, you know, that's where Jordan's major bread was coming from. You know, it was not his Bulls check, which by today's standards, if a lot of people looked at how much he made then, they would be like, he was getting paid pennies for what he was doing.
Get it also, too, around that time when they was doing contracts like that, you had to really, like, earn your spot. You had to basically, like, pay your dues because at that time the salary cap wasn't really booming. So if he was a first-round pick, the highest you probably get is probably what, $500,000 to $800,000. And you had to work your way up there.
Yeah.
The salary cap, it didn't really start booming until like 95, 96 when niggas was getting that big money, man. I'm talking Lonzo Mourning coming in with $50 million. And Shaq told him, I'm going to need $100 million from y'all niggas.
but I'm going to tell you though, King, and I'm going to break down the numbers for some of our audience out there in terms of what was going on. back in 1991, Patrick Ewing had signed an extension with the Knicks, I think it was like for 4 or 5 years at $33 million. And at one time, that was the highest contract ever in team sports. You know, $33 million over 4 or 5 years, and that was considered the highest contract ever in team sports. Then when Glenn Robinson signed with the Milwaukee Bucks in 1994 when he was drafted out of Purdue, he signed a 10-year, $68 million contract, you know. And then a year later, Alonzo Mourning would sign a six-year, $105 million contract with Miami, which led to 1996 when Shaquille O'Neal went to the Lakers and signed like a six-year, $120 million contract, you know. You know, so you see, King, how the numbers were going up steadily, incrementally over the years in reference to those marquee players. Now, you notice Michael Jordan was not in any of those high-paid conversations until the end of it. I believe it was 1997-98 on that last run. Because I want to say Jordan made like $55, $60 million over the last 2 years of his contract. Because for that 1 year in 97-98, he got $30 million for 1 year, you know.
Yeah, price range had to go up. And I think also that was because Jordan, he forced their hand, because what people don't know, and I think they're going to allude to that Sunday, is Jordan was going to go to the Knicks if the Bulls didn't get the management in order.
You know, King, and the funny thing about it is that was always urban legend. That was an urban legend for a lot of years. I'm very glad you touched on that, because that was an urban legend for a lot of years that Michael indeed was going to go to New York, you know, because the Bulls, and I guess like you said, this Sunday we will find out more about that in detail, what was going on with that and how, you know, how close that really was to happening. But yes, you know, but there was a rumor at the time, you know, that persisted a lot of years that Michael was indeed going to go to the Knicks. Dude, can you imagine what would have happened had he gone to the Knicks?
That's like, man, that would be the biggest FU to Jerry Krause right there. Your star player is going to your rival.
The only thing that would have been worse had he gone to the Pistons, but he hated Detroit. He hated Detroit with a passion. He tolerated New York.
He still hates
New York.
It
was look, King, Michael, in terms of the New York, Michael just looked at New York as competition because he beat them all the time. When it came to the Pistons, he hates the Pistons with a passion.
especially when they created the Jordan rules.
Yeah, file him as like John Sally says, you know, like you say in the documentary, you know, they had to beat him up, you know, because then John Sally was like, if you don't get to him early, he's going to take off and he's going to bomb you the whole game.
And people don't know, man, that era of NBA was rough, boy. If you got elbowed in the chest, you had to take it and get up and keep it moving. You couldn't cry to the ref.
Nah, you know, but you gotta look at it too, though. That era in NBA was a very grown man's game. I mean, we just gotta be 100 about it, because when you look at it in that mid '80s and early '90s era, you didn't see a lot of, you know, the underclassmen in college declaring for the draft. You had some, but it was not a lot. You know, now Shaq came out, I believe, as a junior, a sophomore, a junior. Of course, Iverson came out as a sophomore. But this is like Shaq came out in 92 and Iverson came out in 96. But in like the 88, you know, 89, 90, you know, you didn't see a lot of these college kids coming out early. You know, the NBA game was a very physical one. You know, I mean, when you're looking at how especially that Eastern Conference was with the Knicks and the Pistons especially, you couldn't be no punk playing in that conference at all. You had to be on your game.
Man, it's especially with the rivalries that they had back in the day. I think that's what's missing with today's NBA as well, is that they don't really have the lack of rivals. All the rivals are based off where the players are going.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, too,
like, they're not really a true rival.
Well, when you look at it, King, when you're looking at it from that perspective, when you're looking at historical rivals of the NBA history, of course, you got the Lakers and the Celtics. You know, the Knicks and the Bulls. I mean, the Knicks and the Celtics, you know, had a heated rivalry. In the later years, you would have the Knicks and the Heat. I mean, you had the Lakers and the, you know, I mean, well, I can't say the Clippers because back in the day, the Clippers weren't all that good. You know, out west. I mean, you know, but so you had, but there was a little dependent in divisions. You know, you had rivalries. I mean, you had the Knicks and the Pacers. You know, I mean, who could forget Spike Lee and Reggie Miller talking their trash to each other?
Yeah.
Who can forget that 95 playoff when Reggie scored, like, what was it, like 8 points in like 2 minutes?
How many Knicks fans lost money that day?
But it's a different time for the kids today coming in, because a lot of these young kids in the game now, you know, the AAU ball wasn't like it back in the 80s and 90s. It wasn't like it is now. So you have a lot of these kids, you know, like Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, you know, Aaron Aflalo, you know, so many guys, you know, from years back into now, DJ Augustine. If these guys played AAU ball, a lot of times these kids already knew, you know, these guys who were kids then, now grown men, they knew each other. So there was never necessarily, so these guys were already friends to a degree. So there wasn't necessarily that sense of a cutthroat, I got to kill this dude on the court. You know, I mean, these guys already knew each other. So you can say that sense of fierce competition was not necessarily ingrained, because, you know, when you look at guys like LeBron, you know, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, these guys were pretty tight as friends before they even got to the league. You know, I mean, so it's a whole different dynamic. You know? So,
that's a fact. Now, one more, you know, going on to a different topic here before we bounce out, because I got to take care of some things. Now, one of the big stories here is French Montana. French Montana, he created some type of dialogue with Kendrick Lamar, saying that he has more, you know, catalog, he has more hits than Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, they feel a sort of way about that, because Kendrick Lamar is probably one of the most beloved lyricists in hip-hop. And I think it was kind of like a very weird comparison.
Well,
it was a very weird comparison. You know, if you look at it, they're like two different artists.
They are.
Lamar is really not a hit-driven radio artist. He's more so a lyricist. So it's kind of hard to really make a comparison in terms of hit value.
Well, first off, shout out to French and the whole Bronx. You know, one love to the Coke Boys movement. And you're right, King. French is a different artist. French and Kendrick is like apples and oranges. You know, it's like, you know, potatoes and squash. You know, it's two different comparisons. You can't really try to compare the music that they do. French is more of a club / you know, club-heavy, street anthem, kind of, you know, raucous kind of vibe. You know, when you hear songs like Ain't Worried About Nothing, you know, Pop That, you know, great party songs, not necessarily meant to be the most, lyrically conscious, and I'm not knocking him for that because I'm a French fan. But it's when you're looking at what Kendrick does, Kendrick's style, you could argue, is just more traditional hip-hop. And Kendrick, lyrically, you know, is just unbelievable. And like you said, that's not Kendrick's lane to be a pop artist. And I'm not calling French a pop artist. But in terms of the type of music French does and what Kendrick does, Kendrick's style is more traditional hip-hop, where French's style is more of a party style of hip-hop. But when you're talking about hit, song for song, I really think Kendrick has a broader audience. I went to a Kendrick show a couple of years ago when the whole Top Dawg movement came here to Hampton Roads in Virginia Beach. And, dude, when I'm talking about the place with the Virginia Beach Amphitheater, between seating and, you know, grassy knoll seat, holds about a good 20, 25,000 people. And I'm telling you, there was not an empty space in that whole place.
Of all races, too.
Yeah. I mean, Kendrick's appeal, Kendrick's mass appeal is unbelievable in terms of the people that rock with him. You know,
and the whole ordeal has created a dialogue, and this happened out of nowhere. So Young Thug jumped on something in, and he snickered at it, and now these two are going at it. Him and French Montana on Instagram with the jokes and all that.
Well, but,
very bizarre to say the least. You know one thing about hip-hop, you never know when a beef is going to pop off. So if you look at French's page, you see a lot of stuff he going at Thugger, what he said. Oh, this is not you either. This shit crazy, crazy. More influential, that's a fact. Put that bread up and bring your best 20 songs. So he's calling out Young Thug for that. Then
well,
French
you,
also posted
ahead,
his 20 songs, which was...
Well, one thing about it is I think in terms of continued success, I think French has had a bigger profile. And Thug has his, you know, am I a fan of Thug like that? Not really, but I acknowledge that Thug does have a fan base. And, you know, but when you're looking at it, I think French has basically kind of managed to kind of have more of a major movement in terms of continuous. You know, but that's for me, that's just my opinion. You know, others could think differently. You know, of course, you know, Thugger has had his projects like, you know, Slime Season, Jeffrey, you know, among others. You know, French, you know, starting off with his DVD movement back in 2002 with the Coke Boys DVD, you know, so these guys have different avenues in terms of their fan base, in terms of how long they've been doing it and how long they, and, you know, how relevant they are to culture. you know, but I think if we look at it, and it's not throwing shade at either one of them, you know, neither one of them has really done anything as of late that has really, like, caught the attention of everybody.
It's just an ordeal, you know, of possibly these guys, you know, with considering that we're in quarantine, they're looking for things to do. I mean, you see it. We see it online where you see people just picking beefs out of nowhere. So 9 times out of 10, that's probably the case that there is. And these niggas ain't going to pull up on nobody because what you going to do? It's on curfew. You're not going to pull up on anybody. Y'all just going to sit online and just say what you got to say.
Well, also, too, you know, this is a situation where there's a lot of dealings in the industry in terms of who people know as well. Everybody has learned from the Biggie and Tupac situation how a dislike towards each other and a miscommunication and even a misunderstanding can have lives lost. That's just the go-to reference point of the most notable. Although there have been many other rappers that have gotten their lives lost behind some other situations as well, you know, on some street shit, you know, rest in peace to Big L, you know, and so many others. You know, the Stretch from Lab Squad. whatchamacallit, Lil Fast, you know, down in New Orleans, you know. So there's a lot of stuff there, and a lot of times it doesn't have to be an artist beat. It can just be some street beat. And I think a lot of artists understand that, you know, you may not necessarily like somebody. Hell, you can even crack jokes on a nigga. But I think a lot of people also know when to pump the brakes in terms of when it really, really, really can go bad in no amount of time. You know, because remember, you've seen the movie Hoffa. What did Jack Nicholson say? It's Hoffa. You know, differences can be resolved. Grievances can be resolved. But a slight and imagined hurt, that motherfucker will hate you to the day he dies. And that's real.
That's the truth right there.
You know, but I don't think this thing with Thugger and French is going to go anywhere.
It's not going to go anywhere at all. It's just a matter of ego. You miss social media with ego and money. This is the results, most likely, in case there is.
Definitely. And, you know, I think, like you said, man, ego is one thing. French is I've met French before a couple times, really nice guy. French is just a happy dude in general, you know. So you're not going to have a situation with him. You would really have to push French, because French is a real street dude. But you would really have to push French to really come at you, you know. He's not going to really, I don't think he really wants to have that that problem out there. Not because he's a punk about it, it's just he's got other shit to do. And Thugger ain't going to want to have that problem out there, you know. Because a lot of times when you're having issues with individuals, it's not necessarily about, you know, you and that particular artist you have problems with. It's about niggas in your camp that may decide they want to do something to show loyalty. You know, and you don't know which one of your crew could be. Yeah.
But yeah, most likely the case there is. Just like I said, there's nothing going to really happen there. But I'm about to sign up out of here, man, because I got to charge this laptop up. And I'm also going to have this interview definitely up by probably the morning time. Big shout out to City Boys and the Black City Boy and the Black Soprano Family Movement. We're going to be back next Friday night. We're going to be doing hard with 302, man. Just salute to everybody that joined us. And I'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Audi.